Excellent. Today is Tuesday, July... are we good to record? Sorry. Had a little false start there. Today is Tuesday, July 5th, 2011, at Shippensburg Bible School. We now hear the words of our brother Simon O'Grady on the topic of Daniel and his story. Today's class is entitled Vessels Out of the House of God.
Thanks, Eric. Well, good morning again. What we're going to do today is we're going to get into Daniel chapter 1 and the story of Daniel proper. But what I want to start with is this thing that's on the projector board here, which I've found one of the greatest keys to doing our own Bible reading and Bible study. And we're going to use this morning, apply it to Daniel chapter 1 to get some results. All right? Basically, the argument goes that all effective Bible reading and study goes through three distinct steps. Right? There's an accumulation of facts. We sit there going, you know, this Greek word, that Hebrew word, or look at this repetition, or there's a connection between this verse, or there's another chapter that says something similar. These are all facts. Then it moves to a point where you identify concept or principle. Everyone know what a principle is? Any ideas? Who wants to volunteer to describe to everyone else what a principle is? You're right. Technical problems? Oh, right. A principle is a key idea that makes something work. Like gravity is a principle, right? It's a very important principle. It's what it means if you jump out that window, you're probably going to kill yourself. So gravity is a really important principle that drives a whole lot of things. Rocket ships, aeroplanes, jumping out the window, soccer, basketball. Principle of gravity sits underneath it as a key concept. Once we've identified that, then it moves to practice. We've got to put it into action. All right, so a key Bible principle might be something like God is one. That's a principle. And that put into action means, in the commandments, you can't serve any other gods. Make sense? Hopefully vaguely, because what we're going to do is now go through that as an exercise in Daniel chapter 1. Now let's just start. If you've got your Bibles open there, turn to Daniel chapter 1. And we'll just quickly look at the first couple of verses to set the scene of this chapter. Daniel chapter 1, of course, is revolving around Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They are all princes of Judah, of the royal household, back there in Jerusalem. And in Daniel chapter 1, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon's come down, taken them into captivity, and taken them back home. So in Daniel chapter 1, and in verses 1 to 3, it says, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem, besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So this is the exile. Now we read that in a pretty, you know, ho-hum sort of a way. You know, they went off into exile. But, you know, the way they did it, they came down with their armies, sacked Jerusalem, killed lots of people, and they took people like Daniel, Shadrach, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah at this point, and they put them in chains, all right? Some of them, the Babylonians are well known for actually boring a red-hot poker through your nose, then putting a ring in it, and then a chain to the next person, and then you had to walk from Jerusalem off to Babylon. Others would have been shackled around their ankles and the same thing to stop you escaping. So it was a pretty awful thing. And here's Daniel and his three friends captured in Jerusalem, take off. Now, anyone have any idea how old Daniel was and his three friends about this point? Anyone written it in their margins? Any guesses? About 17? Yeah, that's about right. Any 17-year-olds in here? All right. Do you want to stand up? Stand up, all the 17-year-olds, so everyone can look at you. All right? So there's some 17-year-olds. That's about the age of Daniel and his three friends as they got taken off into Babylon. Thank you. And pretty young, right? Taken from everything you know. Parents were probably executed, taken off as the young princes of Judah off to Babylon in exile. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to follow, as I said, this particular process. So, Eric, do you want to dish those out? We'll get a volunteer up here too. Thanks, man. Now, what this is, it's the text of Daniel chapter 1, but we've sort of cut it down. So I've taken some of the information out, and I've done something that's called thought chunking. So as that comes around, we'll wait for 30 seconds, and I'll explain to you what that means. Good. Everyone got a copy of this? Now, what we've done is this little technique sits here in the facts part of Bible study, and it's called thought chunking. All right. What this simply is, it follows the idea that language consists of different sequences of thought, and for us to get all the detail, we need to slow down and read the individual pieces. So what we've done is broken it down. You will have seen. So it starts at verse 3. It goes, "And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz the master, of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes." So it's just a nifty little technique in Bible study that you can break it down, and it slows you down so you can see the individual ideas or pieces of thought. So what I think we'll do is we'll read this. Let's read it round. And what we'll do, we've got to read it fast, right? Because when you break it down like this, it can slow you down enormously. So, and what we'll do, each person can just read one line. Make sense? Just so you'll see how stilted, how much it slows you down seeing the individual pieces. So let's start over here. Yep, with you. And let's sort of do the loop like that and then back down here and do the loop. You can sort of work it out. You're smart. Let's go.
And of the prince.
Something just got back to front there, but let's just carry on. There's always one. should be "and your drink." Well done. Great. Now I think we'll stop there. That's the first time I've done that, and I suspect it might be the last time too. But hopefully you've got the idea. It slows you down. That's sort of unfair, really, eh? Because you know when you sit down at family Bible readings, and anyone got younger brothers or sisters, like 5, 6, 7 year olds, 5 year olds just learning how to read, and they sit there and they're really, really slow, and of course you start thinking about something else, off at the beach or playing ball or something else, and then suddenly it gets around to your turn and you've completely forgotten where you are, and there's this long silence. Most embarrassing when you're in reading groups, reading around at Bible schools and stuff, hey? And you sit there and it's this long silence, and you look around going, man, someone's going to be embarrassed. And then you go, oh, it's me. Oh, where are we up to? It's about that time you go, I've got to go out in the bathroom. So When you have them in little pieces like that, it's a bit unfair because it's very easy to lose your place. Good. All right, but hopefully that's given you the picture of what we've done when we've broken it up. Now, what I want you to do is get a colouring in pencil, and if you like, you can I think probably it's best to do this individually. It's hard to colour in pairs. So get a colouring in pencil of one colour. Just go through that text there and colour in these particular phrases. Learning the tongue of the Chaldeans, daily provision of the king's meat, wine which he or they drank, which is 3 times, Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, portion of the king's meat should be 3 times, appointed your meat and drink. Okay, so all we're going to be doing here, we're accumulating facts. We're right at the very start of our Bible study process. And we've noticed that there's this unusual bunch of terms and phrases, and we're going to colour them in. Anyone confused? Anyone not know how to colour in? Great. I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. Good. Looks like most people have finished that. Give you 10 seconds to finish if you haven't. And all I noticed is a lot of them. It's probably a lot of colouring in you should have now on your sheet. Right, let's move on. Get another colour and colour in all these. Trick way is you can put a box around, or put a circle around, or you can put a squiggle around, and you've got three colours. Good, another 15 seconds. You're all very fast colourers in. Good, all right. So what we've just done, we're still here in the facts component. Over on the left-hand side, just at the very beginning of our Bible study, our Bible reading process. And we've noticed that there's a whole bunch of different things we can colour in. Now, that was lots of fun, but so what? Did anybody notice something about those two batches of things we coloured in? Have a look at them, see if you can work out. They go into two categories. The whole chapter breaks up into that framework. Anyone want to guess? I reckon, Eric.
The first color dealt with Babylonian things.
Yep. And the second group dealt with things of Judah or the things of God. So what we notice, just by coloring in repetition of the two batches of ideas, is the whole chapter is actually a chapter of contrast between two things. So let's put together a diagram of the facts. Now, what you should have on your sheet here, for those who haven't already gone and drawn in it, is a little box that says, use this box to draw a diagram of the facts, which means we can draw a diagram in there. So let's whip this thing up. Control B, Function B, Shift B. Which one blacks the? Does anyone know? Control. Beauty. Thank you. Good. All right, we've seen what all the facts are. So let's put them in this sort of a diagram. Now just bear with me here. I was never a school teacher and my writing is shocking. But what we have is this contrast in this chapter very clearly. There's Babylon. And over here we've got God. And the whole chapter sets up this contrast between learning and tongue of Chaldea and the wisdom and learning of God. So what you should do is write this down in that little box as I go through. Can everyone read that, by the way, at the back? Getting a sore arm. Do you know in New Zealand we have things called whiteboards? They've got a few blackboards, but they're in museums back home. Everyone got that down? Good. So all we did is we noticed a fact that there was a repetition of certain ideas of Babylon, learning in tongue of Chaldeans, daily food, daily wine. They changed the names to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were magicians and astrologers, which was set up contrasting in Daniel chapter 1 to the learning wisdom of God, daily pulse, daily water, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and God's wisdom. And the whole story is a setup to contrast these two competing wisdom states. Now, what was the result, by the way? Conclusion of the whole chapter, when you compare the two states. Anyone see what the result was of the competition? No, I'm not accusing you, Eric. It's your job to bail me out of awkward silences when nobody answers questions. So, yeah, so one is, but did you notice in verse 20 at the end of your sheet there? Actually, there's a nice little summary statement at the end of the competition. It was called 10 times better. All right, so that's Daniel chapter 1. Brilliantly set up as this contrast between two things. The power of Babylon changed their names, gave them their own daily food and wine, teaching the learning and tongue of Chaldeans, but God's wisdom is 10 times better. All right, so a neat little summary of that chapter. Now, we're still in the facts component. What we want to do now, we want to identify what the key principle is. So if you look at that little contrast, summary of the chapter, there's going to be a key principle or principles that we want to identify. And at the bottom of your little box here, you'll see the key principle is, and then under that it says, describe two practical examples of this principle practice. What we're going to do is break up into pairs. Does everybody know each other in here, or people from all over the place, and you don't really know each other? Let's do it this way, right? It's going to be really awkward. Let's break up into pairs of people you don't really know. Try and find some you haven't met before. All right? And we'll work like that. This is really embarrassing when you do this, because we're all very socially awkward when it comes to break up and find someone you don't know, because it's like those old pick-up games and everyone's scared of being left at the end. And don't worry about it, because I know what that's like. Back when I was 11 years old, do you have middle school here between primary and then high school? About 11, 12 year olds? So we have middle school. Middle school, when we were about 11, we used to do a thing called square dancing. You know, square dancing here, sorry? It's like, this is back in the 1970s, late 70s, early 80s, right? So square dancing. And I don't know why, a very progressive our school, but the boys had to line up. And the girls had to go and pick a square dance partner. Real, real embarrassing. So we could make it that you actually have to find, if you're a boy, you've got to find a girl you don't know and make it really awkward. But it was a bit of a problem because I was always sort of left at the end. I don't know why, because I used to sit there with a big grin and sort of, as the girls went by, go, big winsome smile. And they used to walk past, and I always ended up having to square dance with the teacher. But so let's break up into pairs. Try and find someone you haven't worked with before. Introduce yourself, and try and identify the key driving principle, key concept that sits here. Make sense? Anyone confused? I'll wander around if you're confused, and you come and tell me, and I'll try and help you out. And we'll do that in pairs and then stay in those pairs, because we're then going to go on to the practice applying that principle. All right, let's go. If anyone's left out, you can come and square dance with me. them with its own inferior version. Right? Tries to capture the principle or concept. Or, in life, we will be forced to choose between two competing sets of wisdoms. One's much better than the other. Wisdom of God much better than the wisdom of Babylon or this world. Does that make sense? Does that mean that you got it, or that there's only 5 minutes to go and he's nearly finished? All right, I'd understand either of them. All right, so hopefully you got something like that. You might have just had something like separation, which probably is a good way of summarising it too. So we've got 5 minutes exactly. Let's try and put this into practice. Try and find, we've said two, if you can find two, great. But try and find at least one practical application of this. And it might simply be this. All right, I come home from work, school, whatever. And that corner's my big flat TV screen and my game station. And over in that corner's my desk with my Bible on it. All right, so what am I going to spend my evening doing? I've got to make a choice, right? So that's a practical application now of this principle. You can go and you can eat the food and drink the wine of Babylon or the pulse and the water. By the way, we haven't got time to do this, unfortunately. Maybe we'll do it next time. But pulse and water are symbols for the word of God, of course, in this parable. So there's a practical example. Another one might be, here's an example. See, pick one from your own life. I go back into my early 20s when I was I used to do currency trading for one of the banks in my early 20s. And we used to have people come down to Singapore and Hong Kong, down to New Zealand, quite frequently. I used to do a lot of trading with. And they would take me out skiing and fishing, and sort of conflict of interest nowadays, and I'll let them do it. But one day they came down and said they'd take me out to the ski fields for a Saturday, just a day trip. But unfortunately, there was a fraternal run by the meeting on that Saturday. So I got thrust into this choice between am I going to go and learn about God's wisdom, or am I going to go off skiing and enjoy the things of this world? And you know what I did? Anyone guess? Yeah, I went skiing. And about 20 minutes out of Wellington, a guy fell asleep coming the other way and hit his head on, right on the very corner. Luckily, he hit it on the front corner of the car. There was three of us in it. I was sitting in the passenger seat. Spun us round on this four-lane highway, and a big semi-trailer coming down the other way ripped off the back bonnet, spun us back the other way up and landed on this railway track. We didn't get a scratch on us, but I hopped out. And you know that story of Jonah, where they say, How come we're in this big storm? Whose fault is it? And ended up Jonah. I sat there looking at this car wreck, looking at me, going, I haven't got a scratch on it. I looked down the highway and there's carnage. There was five or six cars. There was one on its roof smoking in the paddock. Now I got confronted with this choice, this principle. When I put it into practice, I failed and I hopefully learnt my lesson, but I'm not very good at it. So we'll give you 3 or 4 minutes. We've got to finish at 22, don't we? Yeah. 2:42. All right. So give you 3 or 4 minutes just to try and get a practical application, either one in your own life or one in a generic sense of choice. Go for it. with the group. Yeah, there's always someone. Yeah? Shh. Yeah, right, so that's another classic example. There's a conflict between the two. You're going to be forced a choice. Go to the prom weekend. That's a bit like square dancing, isn't it? Don't you have to turn up and like, chew? Like, I couldn't do that, eh? So that'd be an easy choice for me. Anyone else? Okay, that's another one. Facebook comes from where? Not that it's inherently bad, but does come from Babylon. There's a whole lot of wisdom there, and it conflicts. Yeah, I know. That's an excellent one. Anyone else? Anyone else want to reveal something personal about this? Sorry. Yeah, so that's another classic one, isn't it? I know the girls don't understand that at all, right? Go to a sporting event Friday night, or go to CYC. But, you know, we're going to be... This choice gets thrown into us or into our faces all the time. But, you know what's going to happen at a sports game, eh? Your favourite team's going to get a hiding, and if you went to CYC, you would have come away much happier, 10 times better off. Good. All right, well, hopefully that's just showing you quickly as an example of going through facts, identifying a core principle, and seeing the practical application. That's really important, right, because in life, we're often told what to do, but not why. And you sit there and go, well, why should I? And the principle is all about why. So principle is really important to identify, because in life, we don't just follow a bunch of rules. You've got to do this. We follow principles applied. Good. All right. Well, that's me. We need to rush off. So we'll see you tomorrow.